If you hit on your rookie picks like Puka Nacua and Tank Dell in 2023, you don't need me to tell you what a difference maker they make to your rosters. If you ended up with too much Quentin Johnston, too much Sean Tucker, then you also know what a difference those bad picks can make. Rookie season, it starts now. We're going to run you through two rounds of a single QB mock draft. Even if you're not in single QB leagues, this is the time to learn about these players, what they're like, what their value is as the draft starts to creep into view. Stick around to the end because we're going to get into a few rookie sleepers, talk about players we like. We're going to get you set up to absolutely crush your fantasy drafts this offseason. With me, as you can see, we've got Pat Fitzmaurice of Fantasy Pros and Betting Pros, host of the Fantasy Pros Dynasty podcast, one of the very best when it comes to weekly rankings, dynasty content, even dips his fingers into the golf streets. Pat, it's always a pleasure to have you here in the sanctuary. How are you adjusting to the pace of the offseason?
Oh, Tom, doing well. Pleasure to join you and Rich. And I'm doing pretty well. Like, it's nice to not have these certain things you have to have done at a specific time every week. And, you know, like Sunday night, we're typically working on our waiver article, and I'm doing that till 2 or 3 in the morning. It's nice to just go to bed when I want to go to bed on Sunday night. It's a novel thing, and I'm getting used to it very well.
Yeah, definitely. The offseason is definitely different, and there's plenty to love about it. Of course, I'm also joined by my co-host here in the sanctuary, Rich, who's also a senior contributor for DLF. Rich, you've been in the lab. You're working on our rookie guide. Are you ready to argue for your guys tonight?
Getting there. Getting there. I think we were just talking before the show. I've watched 22 now. I've part-watched 36. So, yeah, I feel like I've watched the majority of the big names and the guys that we're probably going to be talking about today. So, yeah, haven't fully formed opinions, haven't got the rookie model up and running yet, but film study is pretty much in the book.
Well, it is early, so early, in fact, that sleepers still do not have the rookies in already, which is why we're going to be throwing this back and working in Excel tonight and doing things a little more retro, but apparently sleeper are going to have those rookies in soon, so now is the time to start paying attention. Pat, I'm going to throw it to you for the 101. Last year, it was such a clear and obvious consensus pick of, like, Bijan Robinson. In a single QB format like this, do you feel like there's a clear, obvious choice here?
I do think there is an obvious choice, Tom, and it's Marvin Harrison Jr., son of the great Marvin Harrison Sr., and the difference is the son is bigger, faster, stronger. Like, he's the more physically imposing version of Marvin Harrison Sr., but also a fantastic route runner, great at the catch point. He is pretty much the total package, and I don't want to slip into hyperbole here, but this is a Hall of Fame talent here. And, you know, some people will say there is a big gap between Harrison and the rest of the field at wide receiver in a strong wide receiver class. Other people think maybe the gap isn't that big. But I think he's the pretty clear cut choice. And I would be surprised if he were not the first non-quarterback off the board, you know, in super flex leagues, and the first player off the board in non-super flex leagues.
In super flex leagues, do you think there's any argument to be made for taking him there?
I think there is. And I just did my first super flex mock, and someone took Marvin Harrison Jr. number one.
Lovely. I think that's going to be one that, if you landed in the right situation, would definitely spice up a bit. But Rich, at 102, where are you going?
I'm going to stick with the wide receiver position. I'm going to go Malik Nabers. I think I absolutely agree with everything Pat's talking about Marvin Harrison. I think he's the safest kind of fantasy prospect we've had probably in 7-8 years. I think you're going back many years before we get someone that's as safe as Marvin Harrison. But everybody seems to forget about Malik Nabers. I think he's an incredible prospect. In any other year, he'd be talked up as a superstar. You know, this is a guy that's an elite route runner. He can be used all over the field. I think he's fantastic with the ball in his hands. He's lacking a little bit of bulk. And I'm someone that, you know, doesn't worry about size, doesn't worry about that kind of frame. But there is an argument that he will need to be perhaps schemed up a little bit more than someone like Marvin Harrison. I think he'll need that free release. I think he won't be able to just line up as an X receiver and, you know, go up against the team's best corner. He will need to be used in motion and used as the kind of flanker off the line of scrimmage and things like that. But everything you could want in a wide receiver, and if this was any other draft class, I think we'd be talking about Malik Nabers as a future superstar.
Pat, would you have gone with Malik Nabers there?
I would have. Yeah, and there's some people who think he's right on Marvin Harrison's heels. I think maybe it's a little bit of a gap between the two, but Nabers is just so explosive with the ball in his hands. Like, it's a close call between him and the number three wide receiver, I think, but Nabers is number two for me as well.
So are you going wide receiver, or let me trigger on anywhere else?
I am going to stick with wide receiver and go with Rome Odunze of Washington. And, you know, big, fast, and a really good route runner. He's 6'3", really productive. And they had a terrific group of wide receivers at Washington, but Odunze was clearly the leader of the pack. I think he's going to make a really good pro. And I think these first three are pretty can't miss, to be honest. Like, I'd be surprised if 3 years from now, if any of these guys were not like considered top 30 or 40 wide receivers in the NFL.
Cool. Well, we are going to get on to the 104 in a second. But if you want to hear more thoughts about these rookies on this class, hit that subscribe button down below. We've got loads more mock drafts coming. We've got dynasty buys and sells, rookie profiles. The rookie content is just not going to stop until we are at the draft. Rich, you did a Superflex rookie mock draft with Mags of Dynasty Hot Seat last week. That's in the description down below. Do you find it kind of tricky coming out of that Superflex mindset and back into a single QB mindset at times when you're looking at these single QB mocks?
Yeah, massively. I really struggle in any single QB format. I only play Superflex Dynasty. The only one QB league I play in now is my home league that I've been trying to get changed over to Superflex for the last 4 years, but they refuse. So it's kind of, I really struggle knowing where to put the quarterbacks, and I basically just remove them from my draft board and just basically say, here's my Superflex draft without quarterbacks included. But can I just pick Pat's brains a little bit on Rome Odunze a little bit? Because one thing I'm struggling with him on, Pat, is I watched one of his tapes of his freshman year last week, and he basically did very, very little for those first 2 years. And that, I'm a big believer in age-adjusted production. And sure, that's a big red flag for me. Are you comfortable in him as a prospect that we can kind of not worry about that as much?
I agree with you on that, Rich. There's some other players in this, and I'll mention him because I don't know whether he's going to show up later in this draft. Xavier Leggett is kind of another guy like that who is sort of a late bloomer. And I generally do hold that against players a little bit. And I know some people have Odunze ahead of Malik Nabers. That's one of the reasons I can't really do it with Odunze, but he's shown enough later in his college career that I'm pretty confident with what we're getting from him. And plus obviously having Michael Penix Jr. show up and jumpstart that passing game really helped a lot and helped Odunze strut his stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That helps. Well, at the 104, I'm going to go perhaps probably a little bit spicy, I think, versus consensus at the moment. I'm going to go Xavier Worthy. I think that, as Pat said, those top three feel locked in. To me, there's a bit of a drop off after those three. And Xavier Worthy's the guy that I'm most confident in. I think that he's probably going to get overshadowed by some because he lacks that elite size, but I think he's a phenomenal route runner. He is an elite separator at all three phases of the route. He's lightning fast. I saw a report that he ran a 10.500 meters at age 17, which, I don't know how true it is, but if that's true, absolutely insane for speed. And this is a guy that produced, despite some quarterback challenges, as a true freshman in an elite college. Like, yeah, if we talk about age-adjusted production, Xavier Worthy's got it. So I feel like he's fast becoming kind of my guy in this draft class because I think he ticks everything, but he's going to get forgotten because he doesn't hold that prototypical size, which, as I've said many a time, is not really a concern for me.
Okay, so we'll get to the 105 in a second, but in the chat, we've got Dirt Matt saying, curious to see where these QBs are going to go. Here's the 101, 102, 103, 105, 111. Good work there. Is this the kind of area where Caleb Williams should be going off? I mean, I know that we're getting a bit sort of draft fatigue with Caleb Williams, and we're hearing those kind of maybe he shouldn't even be 101 at this point, and all those kind of whispers now when it comes to fantasy drafts. But if one of the sort of comparisons which we've seen for Caleb Williams at times, or at least I've seen, as admittedly as someone who's not a draftnik, is the ceiling being like a Patrick Mahomes level outcome. So if that's the case, even in a single QB mock like this, should we be looking for Caleb Williams about here?
It seems reasonable to take him in the middle of the first round. I think probably somewhere in these next four picks is about where I would expect him to go in most one quarterback leagues. And if you wanted to wait, I think you could get one of the top three somewhere with his 111 pick. I think you'd be able to get one of the top three at 111. I'd be really surprised if all three went before 111 in a one QB dynasty rookie draft.
So, Pat, 105, where are you going here?
Got to break the wide receiver paradigm here, Tom. Let's go with Brock Bowers, the tight end from Georgia. And I remember watching Brock Bowers when he was a freshman and being just having my eyes pop out of my head, and then learning he was a freshman and being depressed, thinking, oh, man, we're going to have to wait like until the 2024. You know, this was what, the 2021 college football season. I'm thinking, oh, we have to wait till spring of 2024 to be able to draft this guy in dynasty. Like, he's just wildly talented. I mean, maybe the best tight end prospect, certainly since Kyle Pitts, and, you know, maybe a better prospect than Kyle Pitts. And he's just really a complete tight end. Kyle Pitts, some people, maybe the knock on him was that he was sort of a glorified wide receiver. Bowers, maybe a little bit more of a complete tight end, has had at least, I think, 715 receiving yards all three of his seasons at Georgia. Just an absolute beast after the catch, really good at getting himself open too, whether it's against man or against zone. I guess the only knock on him is that he doesn't have maybe quite the prototypical tight end size. He's about 6'4", 230, 235, I want to say. I don't know what he's going to play at in the NFL. I'm sure they're going to try to bulk him up just a little bit more. But yeah, he is the total package. And, you know, he is going to set your mind at ease at the tight end position, I think, for a long, long time.
So last week on our Superflex rookie mock draft, which Rich did with Mags, you and him talked about how dynasty landing spots don't always matter, but at tight end they probably matter a little bit more than we kind of give them credit for, because, you know, they need to be landing in a scheme, they need to be in the right area. We saw with Dalton Kincaid, when the situation was right, he could be fantastic, but it was very different. And they didn't really go out of their way to put him in a position to unleash him in his rookie year. Pat, is there a particular team that you'd like to see Brock Bowers on?
He is being matched up with the Chargers in a lot of early mock drafts, and I could not complain with that at all. Pair him with Justin Herbert. You know, like, I know they've got some firepower at wide receiver, but I think Bowers would be able to carve out a target niche for himself on the Chargers.
Yeah. Rich, any other landing spots you like for Bowers?
No, I love the Chargers. I think it's basically any team that is going to use him in inventive ways. I think I want to see an inventive offensive play caller, basically, because Brock Bowers is not like any other tight end. I mean, I can think back. I want to say it was his freshman year where he took a jet sweep 80 yards for a touchdown. Like, how many other tight ends can you see do stuff like that? Like, he is just one of one in terms of his ability with the ball in his hands. And I think that if you get the right play caller, he could be phenomenal.
I believe he has five touchdown runs in three college seasons. So, yeah, he is an extraordinary weapon.
So he's Taysom Hill reincarnated. I get it. Right. where are we going at the 106 then, Rich?
So for me, that's kind of the end of a tier. If I'm holding this 106 pick, I'm either trying to move up cheaply into that top five, or I'm trying to move back because I don't particularly love the next guys that are going to be coming off the board here in ADP. I'm going to go with Troy Franklin. I think some people are going to absolutely love him. He's elite deep threat, blazing speed. His tracking ability is phenomenal. But I have real issues with his ability to run a full route tree because it was very limited in what he did with Oregon. I think if he gets a corner stays in phase with him, he doesn't have that kind of throttle down cut ability to basically separate. I think he either needs to win early or run past somebody. And I don't know if he can win kind of in that intermediate phase. But the ceiling is massive. You know, if he gets in the right offense, if he hits, he could be, for fantasy, you know, one of those guys that only needs four or five targets to potentially put up a week winning performance. But I'm just a little bit nervous that this is quite an expensive pick for a guy that has potentially got those kind of pitfalls.
So six picks in, five wide receivers, one tight end. If you're watching along and if you're agreeing, let us know. If there's a play you think that should have been picked already by now, let us know. And do me a solid and hit that like button whilst you are there. Pat, 107, anybody screaming out good value to you right now?
Yeah, I'm kind of torn here. I'm going to stay at wide receiver and I'm going to go with Keon Coleman of Florida State. Just sort of a personal favorite of mine in this class. He is, I think the easiest comp to make would be Mike Evans. He is big, physical. I think he might even be a little bit better of a separator than Mike Evans, although that's certainly not his greatest traits. But like Mike Evans, he has a basketball background. He started his college career at Michigan State, and he played on the Michigan State basketball team, which Michigan State is actually one of the perennial college basketball powers in American college basketball. So this dude is the real deal. And man, he is so good at contested catches. You know, I would urge anyone to Google Keon Coleman one-handed catch against Clemson, and you will see a catch that will absolutely pop your eyes out. I don't think he ever uses the second hand. He just soars and picks this. Looked like the ball was 20 feet over his head, and somehow he plucks it out of the air and just brings it in all one-handed. Pretty extraordinary. I think he's going to be really good in the NFL.
Just got a quick question in the chat from Dirk Matt. If Brock ended up at the Chargers or another good landing spot, would that move him into the 103 conversation, or would it be better to stick with those top wide receivers that we talked about?
I think for me, I really struggled to take him over those top three. I think we talk about Kelsey and the positional advantage that he gave for years, but I just don't know if the ceiling outcome would be there. Like, Kelsey is an all-time great, and even if, you know, one of those top three became a elite wide receiver, I still think they'd return more value than what Kelsey would have in the draft. So I think for me, I'd still have to go those top three wide receivers, even if Brock Powers got, you know, top five draft capital and ended up in a great situation.
How about you, Pat?
I'm personally going to rank the three wide receivers highest on my overall board, but I would not have an issue with that if we like the landing spot, and maybe depending on your roster makeup. Like, if you've got a lot of wide receiver strength and have a big gaping hole at tight end, I think you could condone taking Brock Bowers over Odunze or perhaps Neighbors.
Yeah, I think what Dirk Matt mentioned earlier was he has 101, 102, 103. So in that kind of situation, if you're hitting on two wide receivers, including Marvin Harrison and Malik Neighbors, you can probably afford to take that shot on a tight end there. Rich, at 108, what have you got for us?
So I'm gonna break this run of pass catchers. I'm finally going to take a ball carrier. So I'm going to go Braylon Allen out of Wisconsin. I think if we were drafting, 15, 20 years ago, I think Braylon Allen probably would have been the in the conversation for the 102, 103. I think he's a phenomenal two down back. I think he's got great contact balance. I think he's got an ideal build. The challenge comes what he's going to do on that third down. Is he going to be able to translate a limited passing role in college to the NFL? Now, it's always difficult with Wisconsin backs. I mean, we had this conversation about Jonathan Taylor. Can he catch passes? Is it the offense? He's sort of somewhere in between, shall we say, in the NFL. I think that Brainland has got the potential to be a three down back. I also think that there is definitely a world where the NFL is going to transition over the next 1 to 2 years, where we're seeing so much more of this Vic Fangio, too high shell coverage to try and take away the explosive plays. Well, we always talk about the NFL is cyclical. The next move from that is let's get power backs that are going to force teams to bring that second safety into the box, add the numbers in the box and try and stop the run game. Braylon Allen is built for that world. If you've got a team that's going to stick two safeties high and say, run the ball on us, I mean, he's going to churn out 6-7 yards a carry and be very happy. So, yeah, I think that he's – there's no back in this class that is a true, complete three-down back that's going to be a workhorse at the next level. I think Braylon Allen's got the highest chance to be that.
Pat, how much further would you have let him slip, or would you have gone for him if he'd made it to you?
Not – as a University of Wisconsin graduate, I would not have let him slip all that much further. And boy, I think people are going to really go bonkers over Braylon Allen after the combine when he weighs in at about 240 pounds and runs something probably right around 4.5, I'm guessing. Maybe he even gets below 4.5. Like, this guy can move for a bigger back. And, you know, to Rich's point on the pass catching, like I think he's kind of like Derrick Henry. Like, he's capable of catching the pass, looks natural enough. I just don't think in space is where he really stands out. You know, like, ideally you want him running between the tackles, and he is tough and he is a load to bring down. I don't think he has quite the burst and the footwork that Jonathan Taylor had. I don't think he's quite on Taylor's level, but, he is a powerful and really, you know, excellent early down back. Maybe my biggest issue with Braylon Allen is that he gets dinged quite a lot for a bigger back. Like, it seems like more often than not, he would leave a Wisconsin game with some sort of injury, even if just for a series. A lot of times he'd make it back, and I don't think he's sustained any like major injuries that would worry you about like his medical outlook long-term, but he gets nicked up pretty easily. Whereas Jonathan Taylor was pretty much indestructible. So I like Braylon Allen a lot. He's my number two running back.
Okay. So at 109, where are you going, Pat?
I think now I have to go with Caleb Williams, and you know, we'll stop the slide. Just like, to me, he's pretty head and shoulders above the pack at quarterback in this class. Just very creative. I think whoever his offensive coordinator is, and I have a feeling it's going to be Shane Waldron, just hired as the Bears offensive coordinator. I think the Bears are going to take him. And, you know, Waldron has been pass oriented in, past stops. And, you know, Williams is powerful arm, very creative, making plays off script, and he's mobile. I don't know if he's going to be Patrick Mahomes. I don't want to put that sort of burden on him to make that lofty a comparison, but I do think he's going to be a guy in year one who I think people are going to be starting in fantasy. Like, I think he'll be that impactful.
If Caleb Williams lands with the Bears, how much does DJ Moore climb or fall in your rankings?
I think he actually goes up a little bit because Justin Fields has never averaged even 200 passing yards in a game. And I think Caleb Williams is going to average more than 200 passing yards as a rookie.
Okay, Rich, moving over to you at the 110. Are we going to see a little run on quarterbacks now, or are you going elsewhere?
I once said that I'd never draft a quarterback in the first round of one QB league. I kind of still believe that, to be honest. I think that if I need a quarterback in one QB league, I'd be happy taking the third off the board. I think there's three really good options, and I'd be happy scooping up value and letting everybody else take it. So I'm going to stick with the running back position. I'm going to go Jonathan Brooks. I think that if you are an outside zone scheme running team that's looking for a one cut back, I think you've got everything you could want more in Jonathan Brooks. I think he is a phenomenal one cut runner. I think he's competent in the passing game. I don't think he's going to be able to run much else. Like, if you try and get him to run duo, he's not got the vision. I don't think he's got the lateral ability. He's not someone that can press one gap and cut into the other. He's a stretch it out, plant his foot in and go. He reminds me a lot of Arian Foster. Yes, he's only got 1 year of kind of production, but when you're playing behind Bijan Robinson and Roshon Johnson, it's, you know, there's reason enough not to get on the field.
Okay, we just got a quick question in the chat from Alex, one of our YouTube members here. Here's the 104. Quarterbacks are Kenny Pickett, Aiden O'Connell, and Sam Howell. Draft the best non-QB available or pick Caleb. Says he doesn't have much experience of a one QB format. For me, I think the obvious answer here is that there's going to be enough of a cry for some of these top wide receivers that you'd probably be able to trade back nearer the time. I don't know if you guys feel differently.
Or he could wait if he also has 204. I think he might be able to get quarterback number two or quarterback number three there. And either of those players is probably going to be a starter in year one, I would think.
Yeah, I think that's the move. I think either... I quite like staying at 104, and I think if you can grab, as Pat says, the third QB off the board, probably at 204, I think that's a really good move.
Okay, so 111, Pat, what are you thinking here?
All right, I'll go with my running back one. And I think, by the way, Jonathan Brooks would have been my running back one had he not torn his ACL in November. And we're playing the long game, and like he'll be ready at some time, probably early in the 2024 season. But I like Blake Corum for a smaller back. I know some people are going to worry about the size, but there have been Ray Rice comparisons with Blake Corum, and I think that's reasonable. He's just so productive, hard to bring down for a smaller back, like really good contact balance, not unlike Devon Achane in that regard. He doesn't have Achane's long speed, but Corum is just really productive, and you know, I think he's going to be a pretty solid NFL back.
Rich, last pick of the first round. What are you thinking here? Would you have gone with another running back there, or are you a little bit lower on them?
I'm a little bit lower on Corum. I think I agree with everything Pat's saying. I'm a little bit concerned that he lacks that kind of top-end speed. He got caught from behind a few too many times that I'd like to see. I also worry that I don't know if NFL teams are going to view him as kind of more than a change of pace type back, but I think there is definitely a ceiling in there. For me, I'm going to go back to the wide receiver well. I'm going to go Brian Thomas Jr. here. Now, it's interesting because I've spent most of the day, I feel like, talking him down and saying that I don't like him in the Discord with our members. But again, I feel like I'm talking about Troy Franklin again. I think there's some really good attributes. You know, he's tall, he's got great size, he's fantastic tracking the deep ball. Potentially another one-trick pony. I think he lacks that agility, that wiggle, that kind of route running ability to run more of a nuanced route tree from day one. But he's going to walk into the NFL as a, you know, a good deep threat that's going to scare defenses over the top, quite frankly. So, yeah, I think... if you're looking for upside, which I always am, I'm taking the flyer on Brian Thomas here.
Lovely stuff. We will move on into the second round. But first, 70% of the people watching this channel this month aren't subscribers. If you're one of those 70%, you're missing out on so much more fantasy football content. Hit that subscribe button down below. Check out the description. Loads of videos linked in there. Pat, was that a pick that you would have made, Brian Thomas fair, or were you hoping he'd slide a little onto you?
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about him instead of Blake Corum. Like, that's, I guess Rich and I are kind of in the same. Like, I'm not in love with Brian Thomas, but by all accounts, he should be a top half dozen wide receiver. Like, I can't argue with the pick at all. Like, a pretty good percentage play, I think, for rookie a rookie pick.
So where are you going here, Pat?
I'm going to go with another wide receiver, Malachi Corley of Western Kentucky, small school prospect, but I mean, he proved himself with a pretty good game against Ohio State last fall. Corley is sort of from the Debo Samuel, Rashee Rice. I think that's his sort of phylum of wide receiver, where it's basically get the ball in his hands quickly, something easy, something close to the line of scrimmage, and let him do his thing with the ball. He's built like a running back. I think he's like 5'10", 220. And just so hard to tackle, like really quick and just great contact balance. He's going to be a fun player to watch in the NFL.
So where would you like him to land ideally?
Oh, man. Boy, that's a good one. Who needs that sort of wide receiver?
Jets.
Yeah. Yeah, he would be a nice compliment to Garrett Wilson, I think. I can't argue with that. Or the Giants, since the Giants are, you know, maybe don't have a great quarterback and just someone who, like, he's the kind of guy who doesn't necessarily need a great quarterback, because I think his average depth of target is probably going to be relatively short compared with some of the other rookie receivers.
Love that. Okay, Rich, 202, who are you banging the table for?
Yeah, I have to say I've yet to watch Malachi Corley, so I've just added him onto my list. He's going to be my project for tomorrow. So
you'll enjoy him, Rich. That one. You'll enjoy it.
So I'm going to stick with the running back position. I'm going to go Trey Benson here. I think that, you know, if we're talking about solid, smooth, good vision. He's not elite. I think he's an average athlete. I think he's, you know, never going to be that true home run hitter. But if you're just in the NFL, I feel like there are more backs that are fantasy relevant that are just, you know, get solid production. And I feel like he's going to do that. And I don't think that, you know, he's going to be competent in the run game. So I've just not got many questions about him. And at this point, I feel like, why not take a punt on a back that could carve out a nice little 1B role in the NFL and, you know, is an injury away from having a nice little workload.
So, Rich, I feel like this wasn't a pick which you were desperate to make. If you weren't desperate to make a pick there, in a single quarterback league at this level of the draft, is there a veteran you would have targeted with that pick if you were trading out? Like, you know, is there a running back who you would have gone out and spent the 202 on for a roster that needed a running back?
Yeah, that's put me on spot there off the top of my head. Yeah, I absolutely would rather go and buy a veteran. I think that there's a chance that James Conner might be staying in Arizona. I know I've been talking about for the last 12 months that I think his contract means he's going to get cut. I think he could stay. I think Alvin Kamara, if you can get him this, you might have to add a little bit more. He's staying around in New Orleans because I think they're kind of basically going to take one last punt. Ramondre Stevenson, dare I say it again? Again, I think you probably might need to add a little bit more onto that, but I think he's a interesting back that has definitely got more upside than guys in this range. I think for me, outside of probably that top six and probably in another couple of picks here, I don't love it. I'd rather have 2-3 mid-second round picks than I would kind of a late first.
Yeah. Oh, okay, Pat, is there any, like, just same kind of question to yourself before we get your 203 pick. Is there any kind of veterans that you see being better value than these picks?
I don't know about better value, but I think Rich was sort of, if you're not willing to take a chance on one of the running backs, and really this is kind of like a muddled running back group, like Trey Benson is going to be some people's RB1 in this class. Like there's no real consensus with like the top four or five guys, at least not yet. I feel like, so maybe if you would rather just, you know, trade this pick to someone who's more in a rebuild mode and go for one of those older veterans, like maybe you do have to throw in something else, but when Rich said Kamara, I thought that was an excellent choice. Derrick Henry, although maybe Derrick Henry gets a value boost depending on where he goes next. But like one of those older guys, this would be the sort of pick you maybe sacrifice if you're in win now mode to get someone who can help you in that regard, and just an older player who maybe is not going to, he would have more value on your roster if you're going for it now than on a rebuilding roster.
Lovely stuff. So where are you going at the 203, Pat?
Let's go with wide receiver Tez Walker, Devontez Walker of North Carolina. Bigger wide receiver, 6'2", 200 approximately, I think. And he is a downfield playmaker. Good speed, good at contested catches, kind of a big play guy. Not for everyone. I think he's going to be sort of polarizing. I think some people think he's maybe top seven and other people won't have him in their top 15. But like he's an interesting player. And, you know, I think he's going to be pretty good.
Good stuff. Always like hearing these names for the first time. As somebody who hasn't got into the rookies yet, this is my first exposure to them. Rich, 204.
So I'm going to go back to the tight end well here. I'm going to go Jatavion Saunders. I think that if this was a world where Brock Bowers didn't exist, I feel like there'd be a lot of hype about Saunders right now. I think he's a dynamic athlete. He's a really impressive route runner. I think he's phenomenal with the ball in his hands. My concern is that I think he's more of a big slot receiver than a pure tight end. And I know, I think Tom and I, we talked about the idea of Dalton Kincaid. Part of the knock on him and the reason why the Bills couldn't utilize him as much was because basically defenses didn't trust him and didn't treat him as a tight end. They just said, well, you're a big wide receiver. We're going to play nickel. That's my concern for Jatavion Saunders. But I think he walks into the NFL as, you know, a top 7-8 receiving tight end. I think he's could be, ceiling is massive. It's just how much he's going to be treated as a tight end and not just a big slot wide receiver.
Okay, Pat, this is the area of the draft, but last year people were taking Tank Dell in as well as Jonathan Mingo. So give us a pick that's going to be more Tank Dell than Jonathan Mingo.
Oh, man. So you've given me a small wide receiver and a big wide receiver. And I'm just going to go to a different position altogether, Tom. I'm going to go quarterback and I'll take Drake May here. You know, like I do get the feeling that Drake May is going to be a 10-year starter in the NFL. And I've just like he can make all the throws. He's got some mobility. He's tough. I mean, I've seen him take some kill shots and get right back up. I think he is a very sound all around quarterback prospect. And, you know, I think Washington is going to happily upgrade from Sam Howell by taking him 102 in the draft this year.
Can I jump in there, Tom?
Yeah, yeah.
I just pick your brains, Pat, because I was having this conversation with somebody on X the other day saying in super flex leagues, I've got Drake May as my QB1 because I think exactly what you said, he's a safer, more solid options. But in one QB leagues, I'd go Caleb Williams or potentially even Jayden Daniels over Drake May because they've got that higher fantasy ceiling. Is that a conversation you're having given the one QB format as well?
I mean, for me, Caleb is 101, and there's a little bit of a gap between him and May. But I like May, and to be honest, I mean, May might be, yeah, like some people are even going to debate between May and number three. But I think it's kind of a clear, for me, it's a clear separation between the top three, like Caleb, Drake May, and then we'll save our mystery man. For number three, I won't name him yet and spoil the surprise.
So Drake May will be the savior for Jahan Dotson. That's what we've all got to hope for. But Rich moves on to 206.
Well, you set up the wide receiver, perhaps not undersized, quite tall, but maybe a little bit skinny. I'm going to go Jalen Polk, another Washington wide receiver. Pat talks about the three. I think he's probably going to be the second off the board. Amazing route runner. I think his ability to throttle down into cuts and explode out is arguably some of the best in this class. His contested catch ability is phenomenal. He's got amazing hands and ability to, you know, go out away from his frame to catch the ball. He's an impressive threat with the ball in his hands, uses that agility to good effect. I am fascinated to see what he's going to test out at the combine because I think he's a good athlete, but not a great NFL athlete, and I think that could be kind of the cap on his ceiling. But there is absolutely a solid, reliable, fantasy relevant player in there. I don't think he's got wide receiver one outcomes, but I think he's the kind of guy that could be a plug and play, like wide receiver three for your dynasty roster for 5, 6, 7, 8 years.
Nice. Pat 207.
Oh man. I'll try Ladd McConkey here from Georgia. Another guy who, so I think he is an upgraded version of Hunter Renfrow is probably the best comparison to make here. You know, like I don't think he's quite going to be Cooper Kupp, but just a really productive slot receiver. He will be polarizing because I think people will look at him as one of the safer wide receivers. Like there's going to be a lot of debate about, some guys are going to be hit or miss for a certain guy, like the other Texas receiver who I'm choosing McConkey over, polarizing. I think Devontae Walker is going to be polarizing. I think everyone's going to have McConkey regarded as a very safe step right in from day one and be someone's starting slot receiver in three receiver sets. So getting a player like that in the middle of the second round, I'll take it.
Yeah, I definitely preach shooting for ceiling a lot of the time in fantasy football, but there's always a balance to it. And you hit a certain part in the draft where reliability and actually getting fantasy production out of a player can definitely be worthwhile. Rich 208, anybody standing out to you?
I think as Pat's gone slightly safe, let's throw it all away and let's go super upside. I'm going Bucky Irving. This guy's a home run every time he touches the ball. I think his biggest knock is that he's looking for the home run too much. I think there's times where he could take a 6-yard gain and instead, you know, almost that Kenneth Walker style where why take a 3-yard gain when you could turn it into a 50-yard gain or a 5-yard loss? Probably not ideal size, a little bit skinny, lacks the ideal frame. But yeah, there's probably like a 70% chance he's not fantasy relevant. But that 30% chance is, you know, what we saw from someone like Devon Achan this year. Like, I think he has got that home run ability. I think he's going to be an NFL level quicker than fast, but still fast enough type athlete. With a late second round pick, let's throw it against the wall and hope it sticks.
Yeah, love that pick. That's the kind of running back I would like to take shots on. Pat, were you hoping that Bucky Irving would have slid a bit more to you, or you got someone else that you firmly set on?
Rich framed the Bucky Irving proposition pretty well. Like the chances are probably better than 50-50 is kind of a miss, but if he hits, he's going to hit big. So the value proposition at this point in the draft, I think is pretty good at, where are we, 208? Yeah, that's a pretty solid place to go. All right, I'll take a chance here on Xavier Leggett from South Carolina. Big, explosive playmaker. His highlight reel is a really fun one to watch. I would urge anyone to Google Xavier Leggett and check him out. I love the size. He kind of reminds me of another South Carolina receiver from the olden days. This guy might predate the two of you, but Sterling Sharp. As a Packer fan of a certain age who I grew up with, not really the same types of player though. And I think the sticking point for some people is going to be that Xavier Leggett is an older prospect and kind of a late bloomer. So people who are looking for that, like that early breakout age, are probably not going to be enchanted with Xavier Leggett.
Rich 210, where are you going?
So I'm going to go the third quarterback off the board. I'll go Jaden Daniels here. I think, look, there's a world we're looking back in 5 years' time at these drafts and Jaden Daniels was a complete bust. You know, he was a late bloomer, took a couple of years to kind of find his home and flamed out the NFL in a blaze of glory. However, there's also a world in 4 or 5 years where Jaden Daniels could be the number one prospect and player in all of fantasy. his ceiling outcome is absolutely insane. I think he's going to be one of the best open field rushers the second he walks in the NFL. Yes, I've got serious concerns about his processing ability, his ability to stay in the pocket, quite frankly. But this level of arm talent, this level of, as I said, open field rushing ability, he could be phenomenal for fantasy.
Yeah, he's definitely a name that even somebody like me who doesn't watch college football, throughout the back end of last year, you started to hear the whispers and you started to hear the kind of fantasy hype building slightly. And I'm very much intrigued to see how his combine testing and pro days look. Pat, 211, your last pick overall, last chance to bang your table for a player in this mock draft. Who have you got?
Yeah, I'll do it. I'll throw another quarterback on there with Michael Penix. And he first caught my eye since I do live in Big Ten country and went to a Big Ten school when he was at Indiana. And Indiana is not exactly a football powerhouse, but Penix won some very big games when he was at Indiana. You know, not as big as the games he won at Washington, where he had a much better supporting cast. But this guy's just a playmaker, mobile, strong arm. I know he did not do himself a lot of favors with his draft position, with his performance in the national championship game against Michigan. But I'm intrigued by him. I think he's going to be a first round pick this year in the NFL draft. And I think he is a pretty reasonable option towards the back end of the second round in a 1QB draft.
Lovely stuff. Rich, last player that you're going to bang the table for tonight.
So I'm going to go Will Shipley. This is a guy that I think in Devy circles, probably there were higher hopes than perhaps a very late second round pick. I think he's twitchy. He's got great vision, a better contact balance than you'd expect someone his size, and a good receiver. I think the challenge is that size. He doesn't really run through players. I think he's potentially going to be nothing more than probably a third down back at the next level. But, you know, at this point, we're throwing darts and there's plenty of third down backs that have had fantasy relevant seasons. So why not go and grab a guy that I know is going to be a competent receiving back in the NFL.
Cool. Well, let me just recap that for any audio listeners. Then we 101, it was Marvin Harrison Jr., then Malik Nabers, Roma Odunze, Xavier Worthy, Brock Bowers, Troy Franklin, Keon Coleman, Braylon Allen, Caleb Williams, Jonathan Brooks, Blake Corum, and Brian Thomas Jr. to round out the first round. And then in the second round, we had Malachi Corley, Trey Benson, Devontez Walker, Jatavion Sanders, Drake May, Jalen Polk, Ladd McConkey, Bookie Irving, Xavier Leggett, Jaden Daniels, Michael Penix, and Will Shipley. Guys, any kind of surprises about how that played out, or did that kind of feel what you were kind of getting the idea it might look like coming into tonight?
I think for me, the first 12 was pretty much chalk, as I expected. Malachi Corley was a big shock for me. As I said, I've not watched him. I'm 36 players in and haven't watched him yet. So yeah, he's my homework for later in the week to go and add to the list.
Yeah, I think probably Devontez Walker is going to go ahead of Malachi Corley in most rookie drafts. I guess I'm glad I got both. I got snaked in the one mock I've done so far. I really wanted Corley and didn't get him, so I wasn't going to let that happen again. But yeah, like, I don't know if we will see four quarterbacks go in most 1QB drafts, but we did kind of sneak Jaden Daniels and Michael Penix in there at the end. And I like that Rich closed it with the poor man's McCaffrey and Will Shipley.
So the people need to know, though, any guys you have as deep sleepers, Puka Nacua style, that could become studs from the third or fourth dynasty draft rounds? I mean, it's going to be a hot topic this year. We, you know, haven't seen kind of production like we got out of Puka Nacua or even sort of Tank Dell much in those kind of rounds lately. So are there any of those kind of guys who are just creeping up on your radar as the sleepers that you're really honing in on for this year? Pat, I'll throw it to you first.
Cody Schrader of Missouri is a running back I really like, and I think he's probably going to be a fourth round pick, probably in a 1QB draft, a fifth rounder in a super flex draft. He's kind of intriguing. And then, I mean, I'm just like, so I think Joe Milton of Tennessee might have the strongest arm of anyone on the planet right now. And I mean, anyone in the NFL right now, like Milton's arm strength is just stupid. So there are a lot of issues with Joe Milton, but get him in the right system with a really good infrastructure, good QB coach, good offensive coordinator. I'd like to see what he could develop into. He's not going to start for anyone in year one. But like Joe Milton's arm strength is just insane. The guy could throw a ball through a brick wall.
Rich, anyone who's standing out to you?
I don't know if I can call him a sleeper because, you know, he played for Georgia, but Kendall Milton, ideal frame, good burst, good acceleration, can run people over. Yes, the agility's not there. Yes, I think there's some serious questions that he doesn't kind of get more than what's blocked. But actually, I think there's a home in the NFL for a guy that can just kind of take what's given as such. And it feels like he's falling down draft boards and mock drafts and everything like that. So, yeah, he could be a guy that lands in the NFL. And coaches are just going to like him because he just does what he needs to do.
Okay, one last question. Thoughts on who the best pure passer is in this class, like CJ Stroud type? Because we've seen the kind of exponential value increase on Stroud already. People are hungry for those kind of players. Is there any one of these quarterbacks who really stand out like that?
I mean, to me, it's either May or Caleb Williams. I think pure passer, sometimes maybe people, I don't know, would define that as more of a pocket guy. And Caleb is sort of, Caleb does some of his best work off script. So maybe by that definition, you would say Drake May, but I think it's Caleb and May, toss up between those two.
I feel like we have this conversation all off season, but I'm May over Caleb as a passer, as a prospect. I think that, you know, he's kind of built in a lab, quite frankly.
Okay, well, Pat, tell the people, if they don't know already, where can they find the sort of plethora of content that you've got churning out at the moment?
Yeah, fantasypros.com. All the goodies are there. And, you know, like, we will be doing a lot of rookie content. Be sure to check out the Fantasy Pros Dynasty podcast and find me on Twitter at Fitz_FF. Tom and Rich, thank you so much for having me. Really appreciate it. And always love chatting to you guys.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. I mean, you know, when it comes to figuring out which guests we want on here, always right at the top of the list. And so that's going to do it for this show. If you haven't already, check out the description below. We've got Dynasty Buys, Dynasty Sells, Rookie Super Flex mock draft from last week. We've got more mock drafts coming, loads more Dynasty content. We are going to get you set up to crush your Dynasty draft this season.